Okay, now we have a special treat. We have our Patty Walsh, who's going to speak this evening, and I mentioned her briefly earlier as being responsible for finding our friend Phyllis the perfect place to live. And Patty's always an Irish delight. And you have my permission to make funny faces at her tonight. Keep her laughing. Come on up, Miss Patty.
Well, good evening. What a pleasure it is to be here. Tonight, I'm going to carry on where Charlene spoke about collective consciousness last week. And if you were here, it was phenomenal. So I want to talk about several things related to that. One is we are one. And when we start to take a look at being one, it's quite interesting. And along with that idea is collective consciousness. What do we want to do with that? You know, she talked about the 100th monkey. Do all of you know that story? Briefly, just so you know what we're talking about here. Sweet potatoes were put on the sand of an island, and the monkeys picked them up and they really liked them. But they didn't like the sand on the sweet potatoes, a little too much grit. And so one of them washed the potatoes off in the ocean. And after 100 monkeys did that, it was in their consciousness to do that. So at a neighboring island, they started washing the sweet potatoes. Yeah. That's really interesting. So, you know, I'm going to talk about service. So all these ideas kind of relate together. Curiel, who is a very wise soul that we heard speak through Fred Sterling maybe a year and a half or 2 years ago, talked about the change. You know, the change in our world as we know it coming up at 2012. Well, we're right in the middle of it. You know, it's already started. So a couple of things that he said that I thought were really phenomenal. If you want to be on the earth plane after the earth goes through its change and rocking and rolling, etc., you have to be 51% positive and of service to others. Well, now if they had said 99%, you know, I'd be a spirit. I wouldn't be down there. You guys would do better than I would, I'm sure. But 51%, I think I can do it. So I thought that was very kind that they didn't put the bar too high. But he said every 25,000 years since our world was populated, we've had an opportunity to get to the next level of consciousness. Well, it's been 7,500,000 years, and we haven't made it. Is that pitiful? I mean, that is just disgusting. And I'm one of them, because we are all one. So, he said, when Jesus came to the earth plane, they thought that would have been enough to push the 51%, that people could at least be 51% positive and of service to people. Did that happen? Not even then. Oh, pitiful. So, Charlene talks about collective consciousness. Well, now that concept is really amazing to me. You could be the first one creating the difference in consciousness, or you could be the last one, 100 or so, that gets it going in everybody else. So you as an individual will make a profound difference. One person can change the world. Now, what are you seeing going on in the world now? All kinds of changes, huh? When you look at Occupy San Diego, it started in New York. It's all the way out here. What's happening with collective consciousness? It works. People are saying, I want it better, I want it differently. That hanging on to the world for yourself for greed isn't it. And it's knocking out a whole bunch of people that can't afford their houses, that don't have jobs, etc. So then you start taking a look at the consciousness. We are all one. What does that really mean? And I've been thinking about that for quite a while. Can we appreciate another person's culture, or are we just American? Now, we're all from somewhere else, but are we just American and we don't like people here, there, or wherever? That doesn't speak well to one, does it? Are we our brother's keepers? Now, that's a good question. How much of ourself do we want to extend to help or take care of somebody else? And that's an individual choice. How do we tolerate people that think differently than we do? If I'm Republican, what do I think of the Democrats? If I'm Democratic, what do I think of the Republicans? You know, can I tolerate an opposing view? I don't deal with that one real well. That's below the 51%. So we take a look at what do we want to do choice-wise? Because if we're all one and we're tied to God, and we have that God essence within, there is truly no limit to what we can do. And some of us have already found that out. There is no limit. You put your mind and say, gee, I want to do something because it's in the best interest of others. You can get it done. There's nothing really that stops you, except maybe you've changed your mind. So, I went out with Charlene, and this was just a hoot. We took her little red wagon and a container of hot water from DC Aikens and packages of bowls of noodle soup and hot chocolate, and we went down to Occupy San Diego primarily to feed the homeless, because with that group of people speaking up against Wall Street, there are also a lot of homeless people that will come in because there's safety in numbers, and there's food available. Well, it was the most incredible experience. It was just amazing. Some people had set up a little lean-to with tarps, and they had a table there, so we put the water there and started serving people. Everyone, and I mean everyone, was so gracious. And there was no shoving in line. There was no give it to me first. It was just a real keen appreciation for what was there. And different people, and this is what impressed me. This was that collective consciousness that was at work. Different people brought different things. There were bagels from Einstein's Bagels, because I guess they have to toss them out at the end of the day. And someone brought some cream cheese, so we spread that. And there was a lady that came in with a great big grocery bag from Starbucks, and they were all individually wrapped sandwiches that looked quite tasty, and we gave those out. And there were people that had come and cooked hot meals, and those were distributed. Some people brought paper plates, bowls, cups, plastic tableware. And there was just a whole litany of things there. Who was in charge? Nobody. Now, that was real interesting to me, coming from a medical background where there's always somebody in charge. Well, nobody was in charge. And I thought, well, this is a hoot. Look at how well it functions without anybody being in charge. And it was that collective consciousness of people saying, I just want to help. I'm here to help people. Well, that was pretty darn interesting. It was really interesting. Then I have, that was amazing. Well, from Charlene, I heard the next day or two, or the next week when she went out, they were throwing people in jail. So I was real happy we missed that little event. Because we would have been calling you and saying, help, help, a few coins, get us out of here. So we were very protected as well, you know, doing that. Now, I went to a church called the Ohm Spiritual Center in La Mesa. Neat group of people. And they have, I was talking to them afterwards, and they said, gee, do you want to go down to the oldest black church in San Diego on K Street, 32nd and K, to make sandwiches for the homeless? And they do that the last Friday of every month. And I thought, yeah, I can slap peanut butter around. And so I did, and I've been going there for several months. And Ken is the guy that is in charge of that, and he was on drugs, and he's cleaned up, and he heard God say to him, feed my people. So he's developed a program. He has the kids at church collect recyclables, turn those in, and that makes money to get supplies. So what he comes up with, and then if you volunteer, like a bunch of us have, Jerry's gone, and George Thorne, and Ray, and Sherry Duran, and myself, and we've had a ball going there. And it's all done production line. So you make sandwiches, peanut butter and jelly, or bologna and cheese. They're put in plastic bags, and then they're set on a table. We made 700 each time. I could work at Subway now. I know how to spread that peanut butter. One little guy came into the church and said, I'd like one of your sandwiches. I said, oh, okay. I loaded up with peanut butter. You always look, if someone's just a little fat, they're going to feed you better. There are advantages to carrying your insulation within your body. I looked at these little skinny gals. Oh, the poor things. They barely covered the bread. And I'm going, more peanut butter, more peanut butter. I mean, these people are hungry. Don't just give them a sniff of peanut butter. Give them a taste. Oh, there's a method. So after everybody made the sandwiches, then you get your brown bags and someone opens them. The next person puts a peanut butter sandwich in. The next puts bologna and then chips and some sweet and then baggies of fruit. Those are all wrapped up. And they had water and also hot food. But I didn't realize, never being homeless, that when you find a good spot on the street or in a doorway, you're obligated to stay there or someone else will take it. Or they'll take your things. So the homeless that roam around will get the hot meal because they'll come up to the van for the meal. The others, you have to take the sack lunch to them. And there are a lot of homeless, more than I have ever seen. So, after we finished making the sandwiches, one of the ladies from the church, or Ken, would say a prayer, the most beautiful prayers. They were just great. Sometimes they said the police will ask them to move, which to me is really a shame because they don't want the homeless getting used to a certain spot where the food will be delivered. So they'll kind of move around. But if you want to make peanut butter and jelly sandwiches or bologna and cheese, come on with us. You know, you could call me or Jerry. I take my van so I can fit a number of people in. And the more people you have, the faster it is to make 700 sandwiches, which is really fun. And then if you want to, when you do your weekly grocery shopping, pick up some peanut butter. Peanut butter has gone up $2 in the last month. Yeah. It's last time I picked it up, it was 8 something at Costco for 2 big jars. Now it's $10.99. And it had been 6 or 7 a couple months ago. So if you want to pick up anything, I'll pick up things that stay. I never bother with bread because it would get stale if it wasn't used. So Ken picks that up. But mayonnaise, I don't pick up bologna either because, again, I don't know how much he would use and would it last another month. But mayonnaise, Miracle Whip, fruit, Ziploc bags, if you can. You don't have to. The fact that you're making sandwiches is really good enough. But if you have a few extra coins when you're doing your shopping, bottled water, you know, different things like that, are just, it helps them. So you look at service. And those are two examples that I've had the opportunity to participate in, and it's been wonderful. I mean, the other people that donate their time are incredible. There are a bunch of young high school kids that come that play basketball. They're about this tall. They come, and they're the nicest kids. And their mom brings them so that they get used to being of service to others. Really cool.
Excuse me, do you need the quart bags?
No, they use the sandwich bags. But they could use any. But they particularly use the sandwich Ziplocs. Yeah.
What day do you do it?
It's the last Friday of the month, and I was going to be in the desert, and I changed my mind. So I'm going to be here Friday, which is after Thanksgiving. So I'm going to go down there. I don't know. I'll call 1 o'clock. Yeah. And then I have never stayed to distribute because that usually happens after 5. So people that work till 5 usually come in then and they've always had enough people to distribute the food. So they've done that. But it's a great experience. I don't see, that's where I haven't done that part. Ken tells you what to do, and I don't know how he organizes that part. But he said they have specific areas that they go to. Pretty cool. So I want to talk to the board here and see if they would like to donate a couple $100 a month. And maybe we could get going another day, another Friday, so it's every other Friday. So that's going to be my next thing.
So it's only one Friday a month?
Yeah, it's only one Friday, so we could do. I mean, there are enough of us, for goodness sakes.
Patty, a homeless person gets one sandwich a month?
Well, from that group.
I'm sorry.
That's why I loaded up. No. No, there are other groups that bring food out, too. But that's what they do. But there could be more. See, to me, we need to get the consciousness going and create that as more. So whatever you choose to do is good. Now, for about 5 years, Drew Voigt, who's a minister in San Francisco, but who grew up here, and you've probably seen him, redheaded fellow occasionally here. He's a hoot. We went to the Schuller Crystal Cathedral for church leadership for 5 years in a row. Wonderful program. And it was all non-denominational, different things that happen in churches. And they were saying that, and this was several years ago, they were saying the churches used to just take care of their own. And that was the whole consciousness. It's changed. Now the idea is get the church people to go out and help the non-church people. So I wanted to give you some ideas from this conference that I thought were pretty wild of people helping people. Because they had small congregations like ours and mega churches. So one group in New Jersey decided that if the Christian church, if the Mormons could send their kids on, a mission for a year, why couldn't they do that? So what this guy, so what this fellow did, living in a big metropolitan area, He got a bunch of kids together, but first he talked to all of these service organizations and said, if we alert you to who needs your services, will you go out to their homes and help them? And so he got that organized, and the kids would go out. They'd have pairs of them going on both sides of the street. And they would say, knock on the door and say, gee, we're from the church down the road. It didn't matter where they were from, really. And we're here to pray for you. Do you have any concerns or any needs? And they would stand there and pray for them. And then they'd write on a little card, there's an unwed mother in this house. Or there's someone that's got a substance abuse problem. Or there's an elderly that doesn't have enough food, and they would see that the leader of that group of kids would see that the correct organization came to serve the people. So he wasn't reinventing the wheel. He was just getting the organizations to the people instead of expecting the people to know the resources and get to them. Amazing. Then there was another group that was a little bit more unconventional. They decided they were going to have a car wash, and they didn't charge people. They said, this is a gift from God. So that was what they wanted to do, and that was really pretty neat. And one guy says to the leader, this minister, I like this. I'd like to come to your church. And he's kind of hem and hawing around going, well, it isn't really that well organized. He said, that's good. That's what I'd like. So he came. And then there was another group that decided they were going to take their bathroom cleaning supplies and clean public bathrooms. That was their service. So they go to some of the fast food restaurants and said, we want to clean your toilet. There's no end to the creativity. So one of them said, oh, well, you can't do that. We'll have to take this up with the board. And he just howled. He said, what did they think? We were going to blow up their toilets or something? And can you imagine them talking about this at a board meeting? Mm-hmm. We have volunteers coming in to clean the toilets. So people found that there were really interesting things to do. One group got an old bus, and they fixed it up because it wasn't running too well, and they made grocery bags full of food, and they went into a neighborhood where it was poor people and mostly women with children. And they went, spent a couple of hours Saturday morning, and they parked their bus, and they'd take the groceries to the different doors and ask them if they wanted them. And then pretty soon people would come out when they saw the bus. And then they realized that the women needed clothes. And to pick it up, like at Goodwill, you have to pay for it. Yeah. See, and they didn't have the money, so they started a clothes drive. They took out the seats in the bus, and they hung clothes, you know, in the bus so that they could still do the food and the women could come in and select the clothes that they needed. And so they took a certain number of hours, you know, 2 to 3 hours every Saturday morning and did that. And then we went, when I was with Drew and my favorite brother, Toby, we were bumming around San Francisco. And we went by this church building that was amazing. It looked like a craftsman-style home, but the gates had these marvelous dragons on them. I thought that was really cool. And quite unusual for a church to have dragons. But so we went to see the building and found out it was a church, and it was most interesting. They had a circular area where they had their church service, a more narrow area where it connected with another circular area that was open to the second story. And they had all the community saints on the walls up high. And I particularly liked Lady Godiva. They had her up there because she was so giving and of service to people. And they had other people that they decided on. But every Friday, they used their money from their collection, and they bought food, pennies on the dollar, and then they had the senior gleaners pick up fruit or vegetables, and they had those sitting out, and people could help themselves to the food. And they probably fed 180 families every week. And this was the south end of San Francisco. Pretty interesting. So it wasn't a group any bigger than our church that did that. And it was most impressive to see people volunteering to be there and to help, you know, pack up the groceries, but to be able to give. So in closing, I just want to remind you that truly think about it. We are all one, and what affects one affects all, positive or negatively. And with collective consciousness, we have an ability to start different thinking or to be the last one to translate that thinking to everyone. And the name of the game is service. And you can do service through prayer. You can do community service. You can wash people's toilets if that's what you'd like to do. Or you could help your neighbor take the trash baskets out or mow the lawn or do grocery shopping or cook for someone that can't get out or isn't doing cooking, you know, themselves, whatever. There are all kinds of means of service. So I challenge you to select something to do. God love you.
Thank you, Patty. That was wonderful.